San Fran wrap it up tonight.
A classic. Hank Jr., are you ready for some football? We are ready for some football. It'll be here before we know it. Jason Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and how appropriate as we get our next guest ready to go. And on the line that we play the Monday Night Football theme, as we're still efforting, but Mr. Monday Night, as Keith Bullock was known as.
That's right, man. That game against the Saints, Monday Night Football, with the he shut down Drew Brees. I think Drew Brees probably still has nightmares about Keith Bullock over the middle.
Oh, yeah, no
doubt.
Three
interceptions that night. Vinnie Fuller, another interception, ran it back for a touchdown, and that was a big win that night.
Well, I mean, he had so many good games on Monday night that, you know, he
– Quincy Carter.
Yeah, yeah. That was that his rookie year? Was that Christmas?
Christmas night,
yeah.
That's right.
That was really when he got the moniker, I think. We bring in Mr. Monday Night, Keith Bullock, who is online with us. Keith, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
Doing fantastic. We're just reminiscing about how you got that moniker, Mr. Monday Night, because primetime was always pretty good to you.
Yeah, man. I enjoyed playing on that stage. You know, in Tennessee, we didn't get it too much. And playing in New York in high school, we never really played under the lights. So that was always a treat. And then, honestly, for me, I always felt, you know, I played pretty good on any, like, given Sunday. But, you know, it was always the stakes were always usually higher. At least I made them that way when my team and I got that opportunity to play on Monday night. So, yeah, it was definitely fun times, any prime time game.
So we wanted to have you on because and you tweeted this yesterday, which is perfect. We've been talking about the Titans and what they're going to do, you know, with inside linebacker. And typically one of those guys wears the green dot and kind of is the guy that calls the play for the defense on the field. And it looks like right now they may have a rookie do that. And you know, in your tweet said, since when did wearing the green dot on your helmet become such a big deal? You're the perfect person to kind of explain this, of why it is a big deal or isn't a big deal if they have a rookie calling the plays.
I mean, look, for the game has changed since I've played, so that something more might go into it than when I played. But honestly, you know, it was usually the more experienced defensive player on the team, and in like, and I just think that kind of has always been like, you know, even before there was a green dot, you know, for the defensive player, I always felt as if, you know, it was the more experienced player that would get the signals from the coordinator or whoever's giving the signals, hand signals on the sideline. So, you know, like when I, you know, turn on TV or listen to a radio station or something, and I just keep hearing it's like a real topic. It's just kind of like, kind of baffling to me because at the end of the day, all it is just repeating what the coach says, but that's the simplified version of it. You know, the usually more experienced player that is the signal caller on the defensive side of the ball can, you know, give different alerts to every position, knows what's going on, usually tends to know what every player within the defense is supposed to do within that call. But, you know, that it's as detailed as that, and it's as simple as relaying what you're hearing in the headset.
All right, talking to Keith Bullock this morning on the Chase and Big Joe Show. All right, Keith, you come in 2000, and Greg Williams says, all right, Keith, you're a leader of our defense as a rookie. Go out there and, you know, I know there wasn't a green dot back then, but, like, you're the guy to do all that. How overwhelming would that have been as a rookie to come into the league and, like, oh, my goodness, I'm now the quarterback of the defense? Kind of like what they're doing with this guy that they've drafted out of North Carolina, the Cedric Gray guy, about being their green dot guy. How overwhelming is that for a rookie, Keith?
Well, I mean, look, I was a first-round draft pick. So, like, coming in as a rookie, there's already expectations. And considering that team was coming off of, you know, a Super Bowl defeat, coming up a yard short, you know, they were trying to get back. So they're not really, first of all, I have to gain their respect.
Right.
So to stand in front of that huddle, you know, blame, I don't, first of all, that team that I came on to, that's not happening. You know, that's just not happening. No matter what, Greg Williams says, you know what I mean? Like, that's the type of team that was. I can't really see that happening, but without me doing something to earn that respect from that bunch of guys, I remember my third year when I became a starter, and then I eventually, had, like, maybe it was a time where I had to call the plays because Eddie Robinson was down or whatever, and I remember Henry Ford, who was probably in his last year with the Titans, kind of said something that gave me, let me know that, I was the leader of the defense. And, he was an OG from that older regime that was still around. And, certain things, you definitely have to garner the older guys' respect. But in this situation right here, like I say, the game could be very different. You know what I mean? Jeffrey Simmons and, I'm blanking right now. My man, the safety.
Hooker?
Help me out.
Kevin Byard?
Yeah. No, not Byard's not here. Armani Hooker. That's what I was looking for. You know what I mean? Some of the more veteran seasoned guys on defense, I think they might welcome it with open arms. So that's what I'm saying. I don't know the dynamic of how it works. Now I know if it were me, like, I feel like the rookie needs to earn my respect. He needs to earn my respect on the field first before he's trying to tell me, what to do. And on him, it's a big thing too, man, because I think that was more so the original question. He has to know where to line up himself first, you know what I mean? Line up, alignment, assignment, and then, make plays. It's one thing to be able to tell the defense where to, the play and defense, what to do, but then you need to be able to, know your alignment based on the offensive formation that comes out. Your assignment based on, whether there's motion or there's a shift. And then you need to be able to play. So I feel as a rookie coming into a defense, you could be a very fast learner. But I think those are game time situations and game time reps that you would have to get. And, in the NFL, there's a saying, you never make the same mistake twice. And most of the very, very good players do go by that. And if Cedric Gray is one of those players, you're going to make a mistake, because even if you're a very, very good player, everybody makes mistakes. And, I just feel like that's a lot to put on a rookie.
Also, you had Jim Schwartz, who is just a fantastic. I mean, you know this. You were lucky having a Greg Williams, but also your coach when you came in the league was Jim Schwartz, who probably taught you football in a whole different way than you learned at Syracuse.
Yeah, 1,000%. So for me, and I think I caught an interview, and what most guys do, man, if you're smart, look, there's only so many different ways. There's so many different defenses and so many different ways you can call cover 3, cover 4, cover. So once you undress the defense and you take them out, because now it's your job, you know what I mean? And that's why the really smart players play a long time, because they're able to, figure out the puzzle, so to speak, you know what I mean? Because they just call it something different, but it's definitely on the defensive side of the ball, something you ran. So you just take it and convert it and to what you ran in college, or however you make it familiar for yourself as a rookie. And most of the time it's what you ran in college. I remember being up, this is your job now. You have plenty of time to do this, or you're just running around Nashville on Broadway, which I don't recommend, what I'm saying? As a rookie, at least trying to make the team. You have time for that. So you should be in your books trying to decipher what we used to call this in college. So when you get on the field, you're able to play fast, make plays, and fly around.
We're talking to Keith Bullock on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Now, ears had to be burning yesterday, Keith, because we got a discussion about whether or not you considered yourself an outside linebacker or a middle linebacker. Which was it?
You know what? I was a playmaker, man. I just have to say
that.
Because at the end of the day, if I consider myself I was considered an outside linebacker. That's why, I only went to one Pro Bowl. You're putting up, 180, 150 tackles against 15 sacks. You know what I'm saying? You know, sacks are the more sexy numbers, you know, even with however many interceptions, it doesn't matter. So, you know, I feel like I was a playmaker. And that conversion from safety to linebacker in college really paid off in the NFL. I feel like, I was really hitting my stride when I got hurt because the game was changing. It wasn't the in-between the tackles game anymore. It's the more spread out game that you see now. And I definitely, if I didn't hurt my knee, could have played another 5-6 years in that game because there's no, you know, Jerome Bettis's, Eddie George, Brandon Jacobs, you know what I'm saying? Like Corey Dillon, like name them, you know, we had those big backs as well as, you know, some of the scat backs. But I feel that definitely helped me out to be a playmaker, having over 20 interceptions at linebacker, you know, so that's cool.
Keith Bullock is on the line with us. So when you look at what the Titans have done this offseason, obviously it's a different regime as a new coaching staff comes in, more of an offensive coaching staff, trying to build as much as they can around Will Levis. What's kind of your view of this new offense and how it might work this year?
Well, you already know they're going to spread it out. They already just put they went and got two of their starting receivers. You know, you like to think Boyd and, of course, really you pencil them in, you ink them as the starters along with DeAndre Hopkins. I like how they got the backfield set. I like what they did on the offensive side of the ball, and they showed the defense some love, you know, with getting Big Sweat out of Texas.
Yeah.
To anchor and help Big Jeff with some of those double teams, because you gotta face somebody, you know what I'm saying? You can't just lean on Big Jeff and then, you know, you hope Big Sweat is able to adjust to the, you know, speed of this game quickly and the, you know, the endurance that you need to have in order to play in a significant role for all four quarters. And, that might take some time, but I think you'll see some flashes and some signs, or he might surprise everybody and just, you know, be that mature to make sure he's in tip top shape. But I say that because he's playing next to Big Jeff, who never comes out of the game. And that's very impressive for a defensive lineman.
Well, and you brought that up and you kind of read my mind of where I was going to go next, because I equate, you know, getting Sweat in, And look, Jeff had help with Autry, but Sweat's a different kind of player. And it kind of reminds me of when you guys brought in Kyle Vandenbosch to go next to Albert, and that almost unlocked Albert, because then you had, you know, if you were on offense, you had options. You had you to worry about. You had those two guys. You bring in Curse, bring him back. So do you kind of look at it that way? And what do you remember about when KVB got on this team and how Albert kind of went to another level?
Well, I think, that's a great one right there. It almost been the other way around, you know, because, you know, not many people knew about Kyle because he was coming off of the two injuries coming. He only had played about, you know, 15 or so games before even coming here. And then, you know, obviously Albert was attracting the double teams that freed Kyle up. But I think it was a great tandem. And really when they both the next year got on the same side, that's when you really saw Kyle take, you know, continue to rise and Albert take his game to the next level, because it's like you said, you had to make a choice, you know, and then you had other people stepping up. That's when you see a Tony Brown able to emerge, and you see a Jason Jones, and then obviously we got Javon back, and then he was making noise on, you know, his side of the ball as a vet. And, you know, all those things factor in. So once you're able to get guys that could be difference maker, and like, you know, football is about matchups, you know, sports is about matchups, you know, baseball, pitching matchups, you know what I'm saying? Basketball, one-on-one. So one-on-one factor comes into football as well, because if you can win and dominate your matchup, that's something I always said in my mind. My goal was to dominate my matchup, and it doesn't happen every week, but every play, but the more you're able to dominate your matchup, the more you're successful it helps free things up for other people. So, you know, you like to think that having those guys up front will make the ball come out faster, and that'll help the secondary so they don't have to cover as long. You know, have the linebackers be in position to make plays, to be playmakers, as I feel linebackers should be, because they get a lot of the opportunities in the run game and the pass game. So it'll be interesting to see what new coordinator does with the talent that he has.
Before we let you go, we've debated that. I still say your best hit on the football field was when you hit Cortland Finnegan and told him to shut his mouth in that 08 Ravens game because Derek Mason wouldn't shut up and got into his head.
What, to me, that's Mace the best. Never shuts up? I've never heard that before.
Nah, man. You know what? That's funny, man. People definitely bring that up. But yeah, D-Mace was you know what? The thing was, D-Mace wasn't even really killing him. He was killing him on first down conversions. Like, you know, so like D-Mace would get, but D-Mace was very, very good. His talk game was good, man. The Michigan State boys could talk some junk. And yeah, he was getting the best of Cortland a little bit as far as talking. You know, I think as far as the football goes, you know, it's whatever. D-Mace is a savvy vet, but yeah, since that time, Cortland and I have both matured, and we're on very good terms. And, you know, just so the streets know what's up.
That's great.
Yeah, and look, we brought D-Mace in to do a radio show because of all that junk he could talk. So
he talks. I mean, I love D-Mace, man. I wish he never had to go to Baltimore, but you know, it worked out.
Yeah, it did. Keith, thanks so much for doing this. It's good to catch up with you, and we'll do it again soon.
All right, thanks. Have a good one.
You too. Keith Bullock, former Titans linebacker, joining us here on the show.